This is the Faith Debate, a theological roundtable grab bag with the Mix Master as the master of ceremonies and the good doctor. Is there a doctor in the house?
Jesus taught that there's no greater love than the love a man has when he lays his life down for his own brother.
The Faith Debate is on the World Wide Web at WFMD.com, keyword faith, sponsored by High Low Auto Sales and Tire Pros of Frederick.
And Jesus was telling the Jews to love your own brother, not hate each other. Then let there be a racial unity among the Jewish people. Well, this is what Jesus intended for white people to do, too.
In this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, Mix Master Troy Skinner. In this corner, weighing in with a Ph.D. from Westminster Theological Seminary, the good doctor, Jace Broadhurst.
Yes, this is the Faith Debate. I am Troy Skinner. He's the good doctor, Jace Broadhurst.
Yes, yes, I am.
Recognize your voice.
Hey.
And we're joined this week by, again, from last week, Dr. Peter Della Santina from the Neillsville Church, Presbyterian Church, and Jace's church is Poolsville Baptist Church. So, that guy's nuts.
In the world, where do you find these people? Is he on 2 weeks ago? Or?
He's a past guest on the Faith Debate program.
Wow.
No, you can find anything on the internet, I'm telling you. Good and bad, indifferent, whatever, it's up there. We started kind of this arc of shows. Last week we were talking about, beginning to talk about the marks of a true Christian church, we're continuing that conversation on this week's show. And so clearly you're looking for racial purity in your church, and if you find racial purity, you know you found a true church. That's what that guy was saying. That's not what any of us believe, right?
No, I don't think we believe that. I'm just not convinced that's what he was saying either, but yeah.
What show are we on?
You don't think that's what he's saying, really?
No, I don't. No, we got to go back and listen to that clip. I think you're hearing it wrong.
You are a gracious hearer.
I think
it
was
fine. More gracious than me. Anyway, so last week we started talking about we decided we were going to focus on three marks of the church. Some would argue that there are more, but we're focusing on three for our purposes on the Faith Debate. And the first one we kind of exhaustively covered.
We could not talk about anything more about preaching.
There was nothing more.
More ink could be spilled, no more words could be spilled.
Right. We have settled this definitively.
The definitive answer on the word rightly preached.
There it is.
If you want to know, listen to last week's show on the podcast. You can do that by going to WFMD.com. Keyword faith takes you to the Faith Debate blog page. There you'll find a running list of recent shows described, the guests, the topics that were covered, that sort of thing, along with a hyperlink to the Audio Vault section of the website, which is where you can access all or as many as our webmaster could figure out how to put up on the website. But the current shows definitely are supposed to be up there. So if you go up there, within 10 minutes of the conclusion of today's show, which, by the way, today is Palm Sunday.
Yes,
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
Hosanna in the highest and all that, right?
Yeah.
If that sounded really like...
That was right off the tip of your tongue.
I don't have a lot of reverence in that.
Hosanna in the highest, whatever.
Wow. So I apologize. Apologize to you, our listener, and to my Lord and Savior for my flippancy on that. What was I just saying now? I've totally lost my train of thought.
We were talking about the marks of the church. Number two.
The second mark.
All right, so the second mark, we started to talk about the second mark last week, which is the sacraments rightly administered. And we were focusing, and we talked about how there are more than just two or three that people will focus on. But everybody on the panel for this show, all three of us, come from a Protestant point of view. And so there are two sacraments in our world. And so we're focusing on
those. And in
those.
Scripture.
Yeah, well, as
it depends on how you define sacraments, but yes, the purpose we're having conversation. That's
so we're focusing on two.
On the two, yes.
And we started to talk about baptism, and we're going to continue to talk about baptism to finish that up, again, exhaustively here. Oh, that's where I was going. So if you want to have the definitive answer on the word rightly preached, go back and listen to the podcast, because that's all you ever need to hear.
That's right. Don't read anymore or anything.
And so we're going to finish up talking about baptism as much as we can on this show, and then we're going to transition in this show talking about the what I most often call the Lord's Supper, other people call other things, Eucharist, Holy Communion, whatever. So we had a cliffhanger last week. And last week, it was the other good doctor, Pete, was in the middle of a thought and said, "Oh my goodness, the show is over. We have to stop." So
yeah, and it's probably
a good thing that we stopped, because I think you're going down a track that was going to get you in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. I heard about from my Presbyterian peeps, "Pete, what are you doing? You sound like a Baptist." I talked about when I
was saved and baptized at 18, dramatically coming forward. My youth pastor asked who else is ready to be baptized, and then I stepped into that pool and I was baptized. But I want to do a shout out for being a Presbyterian, because that's what I am, and that we baptize children and the children of believing parents. We see this in Scripture as children of the covenant, being welcomed into the covenant community of faith of God, that these children are covered by that faith. Their parents have put faith in Christ. We see this child growing up in the church, raised in the church, to one day stand before the congregation to make their own proclamation of faith. Baptism doesn't save you, but it is that means of entering in and that sealing by the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Very nice.
But I don't necessarily disagree with what you said, but I love how you said this is what we see in Scripture.
Sorry, it's very clear and obvious exactly the way.
So anyone who disagrees is clearly not following the Scripture.
No. Not saying that.
And not a real church.
Okay, so let's back up.
Pastor Jace, you're obviously not a Christian.
The church I serve is made up of folks from many, many different faith backgrounds, myself included. I came to Presbyterianism late in life. We have folks coming from many different nations and many different backgrounds, including Baptist backgrounds, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopal, you name it. And so talking about the meaning and significance of baptism, and what I shared last week was we've had quite a few believer baptisms of students and young adults and adults coming for the first time to be baptized. But there are things that we can all agree on, I think. I'm looking at Jason, he's going to nod, that we baptize in the triune name of God, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that we would teach that there's one baptism for the remission of sin. We don't baptize multiple times at Presbyterian Church. What's the tradition?
We dunk lots of times, like every other week, because you get resaved.
You're not sure.
We have altar calls, and then we get them, because it didn't work last time. So, yeah, I'm totally with you on all of that stuff. So my background's a little bit different. So I remember going to a Presbyterian church when I was younger for 1 week. And I remember my parents pulling me out of there pretty quickly because everything seemed really good except for they baptized babies. And that is just not biblical in any way. And then I went to RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary, then at Westminster. So, you know, basically Presbyterian trainers all the way through. And now I'm in a Baptist church. And so I have this tension constantly, like in my thinking. And then, you know, I also want to represent the Baptist church well. I don't want to go too far in one direction or the other, but we're filled with people that, you know, are ex-Presbyterians, all these same things that you are. They don't even like to say they're in a Baptist church. So we're the least Baptist church of Baptists that you would find. But I kind of want to emphasize to them, there's just great freedom in this, and not freedom to do anything. I don't like people doing, you know, dives into the baptismal pool or things like that. It's a serious thing. It's a sacrament. You are being set apart for something. You're being cleansed in a way. There is a sense in which, and I don't mean this too theological, but your sins are being washed away. That's what's being represented there. And there's something.
You're dying to your old self in Christ. You're dying. You're going under those wires and coming up into new life. And you're being born again. Absolutely. That's all of that.
So if you're being set apart for that in a repentant fashion, I would welcome Presbyterians at our church. I would welcome anyone.
Absolutely. So. When that got to your opening comment about the names of our churches, both of our churches have the name Baptist, Presbyterian.
Right.
And I think people can define a church by those titles, not knowing more of what's happening in the life of the church.
Yeah, sometimes with more meaning to those definitions than you would care to, right? I mean, there's baggage sometimes with those labels
right?
Sure. So, you know, the Frozen Chosen on the Presbyterian the Holy Roller Legalistic Baptist.
Are we Holy Rollers? Get that? Baptist? I thought those were the Charismatics.
The Pentecostals, I guess, are the Holy Rollers, right? Yeah. So, but anyway.
We'll take the legalists and fundamentalists and all that.
I can't help. I have this meme in my head now from that story when your parents accidentally took you to a Presbyterian church, apparently.
And like they realized what they'd gotten.
And they ran out. My picture of the meme is like, oh, the babies.
Yes.
And it's like, what, were they dashing them against rocks? Yeah. No, they were sprinkling water on them. Avert your eyes.
It wasn't quite so traumatic.
Don't look, Jace.
You know, most of the history of the church, so we don't see much of it in the New Testament at all. We see believer baptisms. We see families connected in that. But I think most of the history of the church, we'd all agree, the idea of paedobaptism or baptizing a whole family has been true. But there's this instinct, this sense of pulling back from – for Protestants, does this seem too Catholic? And even less about that, more about are we being true to what it means to be a disciple, that we've truly made a decision for Christ, receiving Christ and a commitment. And if a child makes – if we make that commitment for a child, does that really count? I think there's some real important questions in that.
And you mentioned the word Catholic. I'm going to use that as a pivot point. You meant Roman Catholic in that context.
That's right.
You know, not meaning the universal church, but the Roman Catholic Church, so that people understand. And use it as a pivot point because there's a point of difference that's outside of this room that we can talk about a little bit when it comes to celebrating the supper, you know, the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. Right there, there's distinctions. Each tradition has their favorite way of calling it, and if you don't call it that, then that's a dead giveaway that you don't belong to their tradition, kind of thing. So, but the Roman Catholic view on the meal is that the bread and the wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You just can't see it with your physical senses. It's the transubstantiation. Right. And you have the Lutheran view that. Well, it does become the body and blood, but it also still is the bread and the wine, consubstantiation. And then you've got the Calvinist view, which is spiritually it becomes the body and blood of wine. There's no physical change that takes place in the way that a Lutheran or Roman Catholic would feel comfortable about it. There is a name for that, but I forget what the technical name. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute.
But something is happening.
Something spiritually is really happening. Full disclosure, I'm a fan of Calvin's view. I think this is Calvin at his most brilliant on this particular issue. I don't think he's better anywhere than he is on this question, in my opinion. And then you've got the memorialists. It's a symbol. You know, it's just a memorial. It's just a representation of. It's not really anything. It certainly doesn't become the literal body and blood, and it's not necessarily even a heightened spiritual thing per se. It's just a memorial observance. Well, those are pretty dramatic changes, because if you believe that the bread and the wine you're holding in your hand is actually the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to think about that differently than somebody who thinks it's merely a token of remembrance. So is that a strike against a church, if you're looking for somebody? Again, we're talking about the marks of a true Christian church. So if they disagree with me on something as important as that, because that's pretty important, can I embrace them as a fellow Christian or say that, no, heretics, cult, you guys are crazy, go away? So how do we navigate? It's fuzzy. The same thing with the baptism question. If one church will baptize infants, another church won't, who's right? Which one has the right mark of the church? How do we figure the average person who hasn't gone to Westminster or Bethel, you know,
or Fuller
or Reformed Theological Seminary? How is the average person supposed to know if they're going to a real church? Where does the rubber meet the road? In other words, on this.
Very good question.
And I asked that question four or five different ways and elongated to give you guys plenty of time to think through how you might answer it. And you still don't have an answer.
Well, one thing to back up that I want to say about both the Lord's Supper and baptism that I think that I didn't mention, it's something done within the community of God, within the family of God. It's not something we do privately. It's for corporate worship. And there are many different traditions that are celebrated. We as Presbyterians welcome those are baptized of any tradition. If they're baptized in the name of Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that baptism is welcome. And when we come to the Lord's table, we invite brothers and sisters of any denomination, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the table, they would say, being fenced, the table is not fenced, come forward, come to this table to receive. And so there's a real open welcoming to a table at Neillsville. I'm sure it would be the same at Poolsville.
Yeah, that's right.
But a Roman Catholic would disagree because they would fence their table pretty tightly, meaning they're protecting what's going on there pretty tightly, and say, if you're not Roman Catholic, sorry. So they would say—
That
is
where the rubber hits the road.
So they would say that you guys don't demonstrate a proper mark of the church because you don't do that sacrament correctly, right? Is that fair? Am I overstating that?
You're not overstating that according to the catechism. I think you're probably overstating that according to most Catholics, even Catholic priests.
In practice.
So they would be a lot more generous in their understanding of that. And the reason is because we've jumped like we don't talk in those categories anymore. We don't talk about substance and accidents, right? These are philosophical language things that we don't have any comprehension of
it's
anymore.
It's been a while since you've had infants in the house, right? There's lots of substances and lots of accidents.
Yes, not the exact thing. Right, but my guess is nobody has a clue what I'm talking about because we don't speak of the, you know, the accidents of a pen or the substance of a pen being different things. What makes this a pen? What makes this turn into the body of Christ?
Well, that's because we're stupid now.
Well, that might be the case.
We were a lot smarter 500 years ago.
maybe we just realized that, you know, where the Bible says, this is my body, it's not quite so clear as Luther, you know, I don't know if that really happened or not, but, you know, banging his hand against the stones.
In case you don't know, there's this legendary story that I think it was Zwingli and Luther were meeting together, trying to have a meeting of the minds, and Luther was, and Zwingli, advocating for the idea that it's just a memorial, it's just a token of remembrance, and Luther saying, no, it actually becomes the actual body and blood of Christ, along with still being bread and wine, and he's pounding his fist. So the story goes, I guess with emphasis on every word, right?
This is my body.
Yes. Bang, 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 and basically kicks Zwingli out or something, right? I mean,
yeah, that was the end. There could be no unity, and these are two brothers in the faith, and that just
you know, I've
Luther's
had
a great man, but
I've had folks ask me the question. I've actually had the opportunity to go to a mass, a Catholic mass, for a funeral or an event, should you partake of the Eucharist? And my recommendation to a Protestant would be, no, do not partake of that because of the teachings of the Church. It is prohibited. In the same way, though, a Catholic coming to a Protestant church and wants to partake, can they? Absolutely. And yet, Scripture does say, if you do something that you're uncertain of, that might you think that is against God's word, then you shouldn't do it because it will become sin to you, right?
So really, you're not saying that you wouldn't advise participation because they're not a Christian church, but out of respect for it's boy, this is going to sound pejorative, right, but kind of a weaker brother kind of idea. They see things different. I'm going to respect their difference on that and not make waves unnecessarily.
That's right, and in both ways. So we have members of our church that grew up Roman Catholic, and it took them time to feel comfortable in all the aspects of our worship, and that's okay. There should be place and space for that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the Lord's Supper or Eucharist or whatever we call it, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 to see how the Apostle Paul instructs the church in Corinth that was doing all kinds of crazy things that none of us would come close to having to worry about on any given Sunday that we're celebrating this beautiful gift from the Lord. He cuts right to the chase. This is how it's to be done, and it's how it's been done for 2,000 years.
Okay, so I'm still not sure that I'm clear in how, like in an elevator speech length, right, how I would help someone to navigate in very simple English, American-ese English.
Right.
Okay, the word rightly preached, we decided that the simple way to talk about that was if the sermon is demonstrating that the pastor has a heart for God's people and is pointing people to the work of Jesus Christ at the cross, that was a pretty good indication that that's the word rightly preached. And now on the baptism question, I guess what I'm feeling like I'm hearing is if, however it's handled, sprinkling, infants, adults, immersion, whatever, if it's done in the triune name of God, and it is expressed that is representing a death to sin and a raising to a newness of life in Christ, if that idea is part of what's going on and it's in the triune name of God, then that is, for our purposes in this show, that is the mark of a good Christian church, that is the sacraments rightly administered. Am I right, or am I missing something important?
I'm pretty happy with what you're saying. That, I mean, I think that's a pretty generous view of what they would have thought at that time.
Yeah, but Troy, yeah, you're
I'm
on.
Pretty, I'm pretty on.
I
I'm
feel, I, yeah.
Good with that.
Oh. Maybe I'll be a good doctor one day.
Maybe.
Can you prescribe your own medicines?
Yes, we can. It's funny, that elevator speech you just gave, that's exactly the one I had just last week going up, exactly how you said that. So that was very well done.
I was spying on you. Yeah. So I just played it back. The third marker, we're not going to have a whole lot of time to get into because we've got about 2.5 minutes left. Oh, by the way, receptionism was the technical word I was looking for before for Calvin's view.
Oh, really? I've never even heard of that.
So...
see, apparently you can be a good doctor.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. And in fairness, our Orthodox brothers and sisters probably wouldn't be comfortable with any of those labels we threw out. They're kind of anti-label and everything's a mystery and they kind of think of the supper as a divine mystery. And they probably fit something within the Lutheran Roman Catholic vein, but I don't think they would call it that. And they wouldn't spend a whole lot of time arguing the point, I don't think. Yeah. So, but I want to do a shout out to our Orthodox friends. We've got a couple at work here. Actually, so
and this week, just to point this out there, Maundy Thursday, the mandate that Jesus gives to his disciples to love one another and the inauguration of the Lord's Supper. But what are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, we're going to focus on, well, question for you, because the third mark we want to talk about is discipline. So we want to do discipline next week, or do we want to shift gears and save discipline? I mean, it might make sense to talk about discipline next and see where that takes us. Does that make sense to you?
I like it.
I'm game.
So, hey, what would be a good sermon title for that?
Ooh.
We're going to focus on discipline. Keep it clean, Jace.
I'm not even going to try right now off the top of my head. It's not going to stay clean.
All right, so that's next week. So I guess we'll put a wrap. I've got about a minute or so left. So I want to again thank the Reverend Doctor. How do you feel? A quick aside. How do you feel about the word reverend? That's always bothered me.
What's wrong with reverend?
It always feels like...
we know you.
Yeah, exactly. And not just you. I mean, anybody who... I mean, it just feels
if it's me. Yeah,
just feel like reverend is such a...
little pretentious.
Yeah. It doesn't...
It's on a business card. You try to get a reservation.
It used to be a good title. Revered.
I like Pastor
somebody
Pete.
Who is respected. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Call me Pastor Pete.
Pastor Pete. Yeah. Pastor Pete. I like it.
You like that?
Well, Pastor Pete Delacentina, he is the pastor at Neillsville Presbyterian Church. Dr. Jace Broadhurst is the pastor at Poolsville Baptist Church. I am Troy Skinner, our sponsors. Hilo Auto Sales and Tire Pros of Frederick, we thank them. It's harder for us to do this show without people like that helping to foot the bill for the time that we're on the air. So thank you for listening. Again, an encouragement to you to go to the website, WFMD.com. Keyword faith takes you to the Faith Debate page. There you'll find the blog, which is basically just a running score sheet of past episodes and actually some teasers for upcoming episodes. And you'll find a link there to podcasts. And if you wait a couple of days, the podcast to this show will be available. Usually by Tuesday or Wednesday, the podcast is up. Usually. Be patient. Be gracious with us, okay? Till next week, God bless.